to more questions for Professor Ian Cross now. And listener Sean Hoskins got in touch to ask whether listening to Mozart could actually make you brainier. Is this a myth, or has any real research been done on this?
In 1993, there was an experiment conducted that appeared as a letter to Nature. And it was an experiment where a bunch of students did a visuospatial intelligence task, then either sat in a room quietly for 15 minutes or listened to a piece of Mozart for 15 minutes, and then redid their visuospatial intelligence test. And lo and behold, the ones who were in the Mozart listening condition improved their scores by 3 percentage points, which is pretty high. So, Mozart makes you smarter. Well, actually, that study was then explored, and people tried to replicate it, and some worked and some didn't. And they tried it with rats, and it seemed to work on rats. So if it worked on rats, it probably wasn't just something to do with Mozart or even music or whatever. And eventually someone worked out, well, it could be that listening to Mozart is just more interesting, more arousing than sitting in a room doing nothing for 15 minutes. And so they explored this hypothesis and got people to do either interesting things or boring things between the two versions of intelligence tests. And when they did interesting things, they got better. When they did boring things, they performed about the same. So it's not a Mozart effect, it's a boring effect. This, however, didn't stop the governor of Georgia, the US state, in the mid-1990s, issuing a governor's edict that every newborn infant in the state of Georgia would go home with a CD of Mozart. And as far as I know, this is still in the case. Great for sales of CDs of Mozart, but not much scientific basis.
And they certainly haven't been doing any studies on expectant mothers and then following up their children, you know, 20 or 30 years later.
As far as I'm aware, there hasn't been a major impact on the IQ of the state of Georgia, but who knows?
Darth Joe has been in touch via Twitter saying, are humans the only ones that appreciate music? Or what about other animals, such as dolphins or other primates? Do they like music too?
Dolphins is a bit difficult. I don't know if anyone's ever asked them, really. There has been some stuff done with farm animals. A study from many years ago, as far as I can recall, explored the difference in weight gain, I think it was, in pigs when played music from Radio 1. This was in the days when Radio 1 played rock music, as opposed to Radio 2, in the days when Radio 2 played, well, pap, really. And they found that the pigs who listened to Radio 2 gained quite a lot of weight. The pigs who listened to Radio 1, however, became thin and nervous. That's probably got more to do with the noise levels and the fact that if you listen to a piece of death metal, it sounds more like an animal in pain than does Andy Williams. Although, again, that's perhaps a question of perspective. No, I'm trying to get back onto serious track. Death metal, if you actually analyse the spectrum, it's very jagged, very noisy. It's quite characteristic of the sort of sound that, in the real world, would have some biological significance for a whole range of species, indicating that something was in a degree of pain or undergoing some distress or was being aggressive. All of those possible attributes would be likely to raise the arousal level, raise the stress level of the individual who's hearing this signal. Whereas Andy Williams, not much stress unless you have to like music.
Thanks to Ian Cross. And if you've got any burning questions about your brain and the nervous system, you can just email them to neuroscience@thenakedscientists.com. You can tweet us at Naked Neuroscience, or you can post on our Facebook page, and we'll do our best to answer them for you. You're listening to the Naked Neuroscience podcast with me, Hannah Critchlow, brought to you in association with the Wellcome Trust and in partnership with the British Neuroscience Association.